The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that of course means that it is another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. As always, I am your host, the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me at this time is the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Or as I like to say, to take Dalton now.
No, see, this is the part where you're allowed to say something.
Oh, yo.
Because... We're gonna do the clap, moment of silence, and then we start the show like we've done every show.
I was so,
for the last 18 years that Godzilla 1985 has been in existence.
It was a good
and
one.
Decides, you know what? I'm gonna break it up. I'm gonna just throw something out there.
It was good. I was complimenting us on our work.
God. So, but we're not here to drag Dalton. That was last week when he lost embarrassingly to the WrestleMania prediction game.
Oh God, it was so bad. It was so bad by one. It was so bad by one.
Well, that's all it takes. An inch or a mile, baby. What was the Fast and the Furious? I almost had you. No, you didn't. You know that famous line. No, you didn't. I think I'm stalling because I really don't want to talk about the news this week. I don't know if you saw it in, I sent it to you.
Oh no, I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's a bummer.
The list.
I mean, it's a bummer and it's a good thing at the same time.
There's a couple good ones, but like the biggest story of the week, obviously, is going to be the fact that 1 year to the date that WWE released a ton of talent at the onset of a global pandemic. Which is a redundant word. I've been trying to not say global pandemic because pandemic means worldwide. At the onset of a pandemic that... And again, the exact same date. Like, are you kidding me? That's ignorant. WWE has released 10 superstars just days after WrestleMania. And the full list is as follows. And we'll give our thoughts on them individually, but let me get through the whole list here.
Yep.
As of April 15th, 2021, WWE has come to terms on the release of Bo Dallas, Wesley Blake, Mojo Rawley, Kalisto, Tucker, Chelsea Green, Mickey James, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, and Samoa Joe. And Dalton, if you'll allow me, if you'll indulge me, I would like to offer just a quick thought, which is what the absolute fuck. Because what the absolute fuck? Some of these are more understandable than others. Obviously, this is not us saying that we're glad anybody lost their jobs, because we're not. Anyone who's celebrating that someone lost their job, you're a garbage person. You really need to look at yourself. But like Bo Dallas, on the WWE releases Mega Thread, someone has a list of their people's last appearance on WWE television.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas, last appearance October 31st, 2019 at the Crown Jewel event. There's been reports that he's just like living on his farm happy, like he might just be done with wrestling, and like maybe he wanted out or some, maybe, and again this is pure speculation, but people are saying, well, what if Samoa Joe wanted to wrestle, WWE wouldn't clear him, so he requested his release, and they just kind of came to terms on that. Doesn't really seem like that's what happened, but you know, it's a possibility. But yeah. Like Bo Dallas had the Bo Leave thing, didn't really catch like it did on NXT, but I think that's partially because they just assumed, and this was before NXT was on network TV.
Yeah, he was,
and
like
they just kind of brought him up like in that exact same character with none of the context, so the majority of the casual audience just like didn't get it.
Yeah, because he was like the third ever NXT champion, and that he beat Big E whenever he was on his five streak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that was the reason of the Bo Leave, because it was also one of those, like, the NXT crowd was already starting to get sick of him. So Triple H, in one of his best strokes of brilliance, was like, oh, they don't like him anymore? Got it. And then they were just like, I'll give you a reason not to like him, and then just changed his character entirely.
Yeah, well, except they didn't. because he was still the super positive white meat baby face, but he was so obnoxiously positive that that's what really pushed him over the edge. Like, he was meant to be a heel, but he was booked as a face, but they did it intentionally.
Yeah.
It's not like where people were booing Roman Reigns or booing John Cena. They, you know, leaned into that style of booking.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, okay, no, we are going to turn him. He just doesn't realize it. He's a heel who thinks he's a face. And very, very much not a, you know, the villain thinks he's the hero. Because, oh no, my motivations are pure. No, it wasn't like that. It was just like, he doesn't understand that people don't like him. Which was always good. And then, of course, there's the infamous, don't touch my bum. He touched my bum.
That was awesome. Yeah.
When he was dragged, literally kicking and screaming out of NXT.
Oh, man. He was so much fun in NXT. That was like when me and you became friends. It was around that time. And it was like, I remember every week of just like, God, Bo Dallas just cracks me up. He's like my favorite thing going right now on NXT.
Yeah, he surprisingly good stuff in NXT. It's just a shame it didn't click on the main roster. Although he had fun stuff in the main roster.
And everything he did,
like,
he did.
I liked the B team. That's the one that really stands out to me.
Oh, yeah, they had the best music ever in, like, WWE. Social Outcast was fun. Cause like it was, It was the Job Squad 2.0. That's all it was.
It was 3-man band, but like the sequel.
Yeah, but there was 4 of them, wasn't there? Cause it was Slater. I think so. It was Slater, Dallas, Rose,
and Axel.
And Axel. Yeah. It was 4 of them. But yeah, no, I
forgot it was Rose because he got released. Like, didn't he get released while they were doing that? And then it went down to the 3.
Yeah,
is that what happened? I don't remember. Also, the Miz Taraj.
Oh,
because it
yeah.
was just like. When him and Curtis Axel were just like the goon squad, you know, jobbers for hire. But they made it work in a way that was entertaining.
It's because those are two really good talents. That's just like, oh, that's what I'm doing? Cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Wesley Blake, I would arguably say most known for his tag team in NXT with Buddy Murphy.
And you're not wrong.
That's where Alexa Bliss turned heel for the first time. And because she was just the pixie character that was adorable and awesome, but then she turned heel, and it was one of those things like, how many times have we said, really, you're turning them heel? They're too good at being a babyface. Why would you turn them heel? And then it's like, oh no, that's why, because they're clearly so good at it. Sami Zayn, Bayley, like we've said it a million times. But that was where he was most successful, because he did a brief stint with Steven Cutler and Riker as the Forgotten Sons. Did it for a little bit on NXT before getting called up. Riker was an insensitive jagoff during the Black Lives Matter protests, so they got taken off of TV. And now he's the only one left in the company. So, but Wesley Blake gone. Mojo Rawley, who I have said very mean things about, that I'm not going to, you know, kick a guy while he's down. Also because, like, Sean Ross Sapp posted a tweet about, like, his wife was teaching, like, with a special needs program.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. And Mojo sent them just like unprompted. Just he saw that they were having problem acclimating to like online learning, I think. And he just sent them like an encouragement video. It's just like, okay, you're a good person.
I don't think he's a good. I take that back. I don't think he's a bad person is what I was trying to say. But okay, you said good person and it was enough to throw me off. And I was like, he's not a good person. No, that's not what I mean. No, I don't think he's a bad.
Mojo Rawley sucks.
Like, piece of God. Shit. No, no, like I didn't like his character. Like his early NXT stuff was funny. And like he did well. But when you're only in 4-minute matches at if that. Like, yeah, no, all of your stuff, but it's what you said whenever there's, like, a patch of fans that are only up for his match. It mm-hmm. looks bad.
Yeah, that's something that always, like, struck me the wrong way of, like, his early stuff that I remember of him, you know, packing the show with people who would only react to his stuff, and then they were just, like, on their hands.
We've never seen that at indie shows before.
But now him and Matt Cardona can be... reunited. Hype Rose.
Oh god, that was one of my favorite things that Cardona, like, because he got released a little bit after everybody else, I think, and Cardona tweeted out he was just like, first my fiance and now my bro, and I was like, mm-hmm. I hate you so much. But I mean, if he wants indie dates, if there's a better person to have been tied to in WWE, man, Cardona's one of them, because mm-hmm. that dude's working everywhere right now.
Well, I mean, he's working for Impact right now.
But he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot of indies.
That's true.
Yeah,
he's got the Memorial Day match with EC3 coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of think it would be funny if he had like the reverse Heath Slater role in Impact, where if he just like showed up trying to get Cardona's attention, and he's just like, no,
yeah,
no, it's not. Oh no, yeah, we want to give you a contract. We like you. She's hiding behind the TV, Dalton.
I know, but yeah. I saw the tail. I saw the tail in the corner, and I was like, that's not right.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you want to understand what's happening, check us out as we go live on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985 every Wednesday night as we record these live. Where did my list go? Okay. So this is one that I think, because there are some major names that have been released, and this is one that I think has been overlooked and is also what a supreme waste of a talent. Kalisto.
Yeah.
Former United States champion, former NXT tag team champion, one of the most gifted athletes. And they really couldn't find anything meaningful to do with them other than like Lucha House Party, which is kind of a dorky ass stable that
if they would have
never really clicked. And then like, do you remember the like couple weeks where it seemed like they were going to break him off and turn him heel?
Yeah.
And then it just didn't happen. And I just, man, I don't get it. This is one, like, again, pretty much everyone from this point on is kind of a, well, I mean, really everyone on this list is kind of a, really? You couldn't find something for, because even like Wesley Blake, when he was with Steve Cutler after they broke up the Forgotten Sons, did I say Sons of Anarchy earlier?
No, you said Forgotten Sons. You said it right.
Okay, good. Like in my head, I was like, don't say Sons of Anarchy. Wait, did I already say it? No. They were the Knights of the Lone Wolf or whatever.
Yeah, they were Baron Corbin's eaters.
For like 2 weeks, and then Cutler got fired, and then, or they got, I think that maybe they got taken off TV before then. I don't remember the timing on that.
Oh, that was such irrelevant. A short thing, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but still, like, he could have done, Wesley Blake could have done something, Bo Dallas could have done something, Mojo Rawley could have done something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if Vince was just pissed off that Gronk signed with Tampa Bay again. And so he lost, you know, a former 24/7 champion there, but I don't get it. But with Kalisto, man, he's so good. And I don't know if it's just, you know, his promo ability, because there's the, you know, it's in the Botchamania intro.
I'm going to do a good lucha thing. God damn it. Just, it's one of my favorite things.
I don't know if that just hung over his head or what, but it sucks, man.
And it's one of those with him, and this is with everybody that does that style. If you do it for long enough, you're going to fuck something up. And there's plenty of him botching things out there that it's just like, well, he's not a good worker. No, he's amazing. But when you do that all the time, it just happens. Like, yeah. And so there's enough of that. His promo ability was, it doesn't matter how good it is, whenever you have such a iconic mess up, unless you're like Mean Gene, where we just don't mention SummerSlam 88 and like the thing falling in the background and him cussing. Like, he gets a pass because he's Mean Gene. There's not a lot of those. Like, because like when you say Kalisto, one of my first couple thoughts is good lucha thing.
Yeah, and that sucks. Yeah,
and it does.
Because like,
but it's what's the in lucha, there.
The Lucha Dragons, because so it's, and I agree, because that's also one of the first things that I think of. But I was like, no, don't remember that. Remember when the Lucha Dragons got called up from NXT to Raw and that amazing match they had? And it was just like, oh, they're immediately going to try to make him Rey Mysterio. Because he showed up, he put on a killer performance with Sin Cara, and then it was just like, cool, let's go. This team is amazing. And then it was all just kind of start and stop, and nothing really happened. And
yeah, and that's the issue.
Disappointment.
Then they, in like his biggest, the biggest death knell in that whole thing is that Rey Mysterio got healthier, like his knee got better, and WWE was like, oh, come back here and work the
way. Oh, create new star? No, we have the original.
Yeah.
It's just, we're going to put all our focus on you.
And like, not saying that WWE was trying to make him the next Rey Mysterio, but it's one of those things you could see it kind of being a thing. Because he was beating people like Alberto Del Rio and Ryback. He was very much becoming that next Rey Mysterio. And when you try to make somebody the next thing, God forbid that next thing show back up.
Right, the original thing shows up. Because, and it's not like, that's not really our words, it's always the reports that come out, is, oh, Vince is looking for the next Rey Mysterio style superstar, someone who can connect with kids, well, someone that will connect with Latinx fans, like anybody like that, that can fill that gap. Because for a while, there kind of was a vacuum when Rey Mysterio was gone.
And that's like they tried putting Alberto Del Rio in that role, not to be Rey Mysterio, but they were trying to find that star. And it's one of those like, and I mean, I am straight up speculating at this point. But WWE has a really, really, really bad habit of when were our high points in our business? And like when were the times where there was amazing matches with amazing personalities? And like, so I mean, there was the entire 90s where they were trying to find the next Hogan until the Attitude Era. That was a thing. In the last like 10, 15 years, it feels like they're trying to find the next Benoit. And like, and then they push people and make them wrestle kind of like that. Like, not saying Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan kind of like emulated that. Like, he was that archetype in there where it's like smaller guy, amazing athlete, hell of a worker. We're going to put him in against our big guys and let him technically out wrestle them and make them look like. So, like, you see that where you see a guy that kind of is similar to another wrestler that was very popular in the past that they either isn't around anymore or is at a different company, and they try to make that person that. Because, like, Lex Luger in WWF, whenever Hogan went to WCW, that's what Lex Luger was. They were trying to make him Hulk 2.0.
Right.
And it never works. It never works. Especially if that person doesn't have the ability to be themselves. Lex Luger couldn't be himself. The good thing is Daniel Bryan is able to be Daniel Bryan. Like, Kalisto, especially in a mask, whenever it's a mask. Like, his mask and Mysterio's masks are very open. Luchador style masks, like you can see his face, but there's still so much you're missing. So you have to be amazing on the microphone. You're like, and everything has to be absolutely perfect to get that over in a mask, in my opinion.
He is someone that I hope just shows up for a brief stint in AEW because I want to see Kalisto wrestle
Rey Phoenix. Everyone,
but Death Triangle.
Yeah,
I want to see him against Pac because we saw bits of it against Neville, but I want to see him against Pac. I want to see him against Penta El Zero Mado, and I want to see him against Rey Fenix specifically. But I also like, again, Kalisto versus anyone on the AEW roster. Give me that.
Yeah.
This one, I think I'm probably more upset than the majority of people, but Tucker, because if you remember us watching Elimination Chamber together. When it was the tag team match and it was the Heavy Machinery and everything was focused on Otis and his story with Ziggler. But Tucker was the one that impressed me the most.
Yeah.
And I even told you, I was like, holy crap. Like, keeping him in a singlet, keep him wrestling in a singlet, but put him in a suit. And like, he could be just like a top level heel. Like, I think he could pull that off. I was super impressed with Tucker. I thought Heavy Machinery was a ton of fun. It made Jesse the most engaged with pro wrestling I think he's been, if Brock Lesnar's not on the screen.
He has an Otis action figure.
Yeah. So, which again, it was Otis that really did it for him. Heavy Machinery was such a cool team that were split up for, and if you go off of Tucker's Twitter feed recently, for no real reason, there was no real plan set in motion. They really put the focus on Otis briefly and then took the Money in the Bank off of him, put the story with Mandy Rose, like they ended that in the weirdest way they could have, and then just immediately put him in another tag team and turned him heel, which he's been killing it as a heel, but that's neither here nor there. Whereas Tucker then gets shuffled off to the 24, as soon as I saw him chasing Tozawa or Arc-Truth or whoever it was for the 24/7 title, I was like, oh no.
That's done, yeah.
Don't do that. So
I think
I'm bummed to see him. I'm really bummed to see, because I think he is someone who will do well in the indies, and once he finds like who he's going to settle in, like whatever character he's going to settle into, or even if it's a chance for him to just be himself, I think there's a really high ceiling for him.
Michaela just threw out there Kalisto versus Marco.
Oh yeah,
that'd be fun. That. Yeah.
Okay, so put him against Death Triangle, and then when we're done with those matches, put him against all of Jurassic Express.
Yeah.
Because I want to see him wrestle everyone there.
also super bummed about Tucker, because the writing was on the wall the very next night. They broke him up,
when he was...
and he was just in long tights and just standing there with no entrance.
Lost to Ricochet.
And yeah, it was, I mean, it's... It's one of those things. It's very much the Mike Kanellis thing of just like, I hate whenever I see something and it feels like it's dead on arrival. The only difference is that they got some mileage out of the Mike and Maria thing. He got he got some feedage, and that was it. There was nothing there after they broke up Heavy Machinery for him, which is a bummer because he's an amazing talent. We saw that in that Elimination Chamber match. And you, I do remember you looking at me being like, yeah, he's going to be a, like, that. They could make him a star.
He could be something. He could be something. Chelsea Green.
That one's understandable. I don't think they should have released her, but I understand it because of the injuries.
I don't, because it's just like that she got shafted so bad because she does. She barely really gets a chance to do much in NXT with the Robert Stone brand. She gets one call-up match, breaks her arm. There's rumors, and then or she gets two call-up matches and breaks her arm on both of them. There's rumors that she's going to get paired with Charlotte on TV, and then that's when her injury happened again. Like, she got injured the second time.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, so did you watch Raw? Did you see the main event of Raw?
I did not.
Okay, so main event of Raw is Charlotte versus Asuka. Rhea Ripley comes out, interrupts the match, and allows Asuka to roll up Charlotte, I think. Or Asuka gets the pin on Charlotte. She costs her the match.
Okay.
Charlotte loses her mind, like, goes psycho, attacks the referee, beats the ever-loving shit out of the referee. And my thought is, like, I need to see where this... And so they suspended her indefinitely and fined her $100,000. So we'll see what happens with Charlotte in the coming weeks. But, like, the way that she was showing, like, it wasn't just, like, rage. It was, like, there was, like, a psychotic break.
Yeah.
Which I thought, like, she pulled off, and it looked good, and I liked it. But, like, remember Laurel Van Ness in Impact?
Yeah.
So, were they going to pair Chelsea Green with Charlotte, and now they've canned Chelsea Green? Please tell me they're not going to adapt part of that character... her character and give it to Charlotte. Like,
this
very much could just me getting like pre-angry at something for no reason, and I completely understand that makes me the worst. Like, I get it, and I apologize in advance for being that, but like, oh my god, no.
Yeah,
you can't do this.
And speaking of somebody that had an amazing match with Pentagon, their Lucha Underground match, amazing. And also, Michaela is right in the chat. She broke her wrist. It wasn't her arm. She broke her wrist both times.
Oh, that's right.
And it wasn't two call-up matches.
Wrist is part of your arm.
That's fair. But I don't think it was two call-up matches. I think she had like her first televised NXT match and broke her wrist. And then she got healed, went to Raw and broke her wrist in that match too.
I think that's what. Yeah, I do think.
I'm not trying to nitpick. I'm just saying. I think that's what.
No. Like, we are very different because I don't mind being corrected.
Oh no,
I don't take it as a I don't take it as a personal attack.
I've just been personally attacked so many times that I just take everything as a personal attack.
Well, look at you.
Ouch.
I know that one didn't feel good. Like, I'm not gonna apologize for it. Just know that it didn't feel.
It was a stiff one. It was a real stiff one. A little stiffski.
Little stiffski, brother. God, I hate us.
I love us.
But so, yeah, I agree with pretty much everything everyone has said about her. Is wherever she goes, again, if she can stay healthy, which I don't think is a fair, you know, statement to make, but...
I mean, it's one of those, like, I can... In the stance of...
Because, like, we're going to talk about Samoa Joe coming up, so...
It's one of those things, like, if you're going to say, justify this release, and, like, there's a few of them that I can justify... That isn't, well, you didn't do anything with them. Because, like, Wesley Blake, Tucker, Kalisto, I can literally say, you weren't doing anything with them. That's on you.
Right.
This one was kind of out of their hands because, like, yeah, and again, you can't control when you get injured. And, like, there's no good time to get an injury. But it seemed like every worst time for her, she was getting an injury. And that could be one, like, that's an NFL thing. Be like, oh, you sprained your ankle in three of our biggest games? Well, we obviously can't rely on you. See ya.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, you can disagree with it, but that one I can at least be like, no, I get it. Also, Cardona's been, like, the best person in the world for her because, like, every other tweet's just talking about, in his words, fucking star. And she is. She is so good. She is such an underrated talent, but it's because her entire WWE career was injury plagued. Like, yeah. We never got to see Chelsea Green in WWE.
Yeah, we really didn't. Someone who we also, for, I Mickey James. Mickey James? Are you serious? You have Mickey James there for 5 years? And I understand that there was also an injury issue. There was that weird Raw match that the referee called for the stoppage because he thought, because it was her coming off of like a concussion or something. And he was worried that she was showing symptoms again or something like that. But like, you bring back Mickey fucking James, turn her into Alexa Bliss's sidekick, and then...
One of the best women's wrestlers in the last 20 years.
Someone who could teach even like the already like super talented roster of women. Like WWE, I think it's not an argument, has the best women's division in pro wrestling right now.
Yeah.
You know, not even just like saying just Raw, just SmackDown, just NXT, like as a whole. Like even you could probably make the argument that even just NXT. But she is nothing but an asset. She's someone that you could constantly keep in the title picture or at least in main event feuds. And just what the hell? She also had my favorite reaction to being released, which was a couple stills from The Simpsons where Milhouse's dad, Kurt, gets fired. It's like, so that's it. After 20 years, just so long and good luck. I don't recall saying good luck. So
and
that one,
Michaela,
that one's infuriating.
Michaela just said she could have been a coach of the Performance Center. She could have. They also could just have put her in NXT and say, teach them. That's one of the things. I listened to Bruce Pritchard's podcast with Conrad Thompson. And they did a 2-hour episode remix of Jeff Jarrett because Jeff Jarrett's getting his own podcast. So they redid that one. And there was so many times where it was like Jeff Jarrett versus Ahmed Johnson. And they were like, why'd you do that? And he's like, we wanted Ahmed to learn and Jeff could teach him. And that was whenever Jeff was only like 10 years in the business. This is somebody that has like 20 years in the professional wrestling business. This is somebody that could teach people like, I mean, I'm going to say teach like they're not already amazing, but like have her wrestle Candice LeRae. Have her wrestle Raquel Gonzalez. Have her wrestle Dakota Kai and help them understand that WWE style that Mickie James knows so fucking well. That everybody is so up that like, it's like, well, they're not using them because they're not WWE ready. You have WWE ready people that you're not doing anything with. Put them in NXT. They don't have to win all the time. That's what NXT used to be. Remember whenever Chris Jericho randomly wrestled Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
That was the teach them.
You could have done what they did with Charlotte and just, but like, do it good where they send her to NXT. Like, how great would it have been if it was Mickie James is just going to like, she shows up to NXT, blindsides whoever, and is just like, no, I'm Mickie James. You have no idea how good I am. I'm coming to just destroy this division. Like, I'm coming to just show all of these people who are coming on they're trying to, you know, walk the road I paved for them. Without showing the respect that I deserve. And I'm going to teach them that, no, this spot is taken. But then have her, like, actually, like, lose to these women. Like, have her be, you know, like, that feud with a Mickie James, Candice LeRae feud. I am now legitimately angry we never got to see that match.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it.
No, yeah, keep these thoughts to yourself. So, Mickie James, I don't know. I will say, I hope she goes to AEW because that is a women's roster that, one, I think needs a major star like Mickie James. And also, that is, again, someone who is an invaluable asset to anybody who would want to learn.
Because
like she could do that.
Serena Deeb's on that roster, or was at one point, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Serena Deeb's amazing. But you have somebody like Mickie James that can still go. And you have all these women that are really talented, but they don't really have, like, you have Serena, but you haven't really done anything with her to put her up on that echelon. That's where Mickie James comes in. Because she's a perennial title contender. Like,
yeah, and I will say, like, as it is great, because I agree, Serena Deeb is amazing. She is very, very talented. Excuse me. But she does not have the name recognition of a Mickie James. And that's where I think she would be a big asset. Because they're really, you know, sure, we've had Miro and Big Show and Christian, all these, you know, male superstars kind of jump ship necessarily, but join with AEW, Chris Jericho, of course. But like the women's division really hasn't had that kind of major established star to join.
Also, Michaela, Mickey James's husband is Nick Aldis, who is the NWA champion.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, isn't her husband wrestle for Impact? He used to, but not.
He's the NWA champion.
You could have saw him at CCW 2 years ago.
Yep.
Yep.
Next two, I'm going to talk about together because they should be Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, the Iconics, Furious.
Couldn't do anything with them, WWE?
Billy Kay was literally on WrestleMania 4 days before this, 3 days before this.
Which is not the first time we've seen something like this.
I mean, yeah, but like, this, Billy Kay is the personification of the bullshit narrative that WWE tries to feed of grab the brass ring, you know, okay, you know,
get yourself
do whatever
over.
You can, whatever they give you, turn that chicken shit into chicken salad, make yourself noticed, and you'll be rewarded for it. Because the Iconics were an amazing tag team that the writers had no idea how to write for them. It's pretty clear when you compare their, you know, the promos that they cut on television and the stuff that they did on their own. Like the impromptu, you've got to be joking me stuff. The, hey, Kayla. Like, all of that stuff is gold. Is gold. And apparently that was all, like, pretty much improvised from them. So you split up the Iconics, which one, stupid. Stupid idiot. Stupid. Why? Dumb. Don't really do anything with either of them. And then she gets this like, but then Billy Kay shows up on SmackDown with her resume trying to team up with people and literally is a highlight of every segment she's in because it was funny. It was it was creative. And like I was talking about when we reviewed WrestleMania, her trying to imitate Carmella's moves. But she's such a good performer.
Yeah, it's the whole
like,
thing.
And she's a solid wrestler. You didn't really ever get a chance to really see that. It was always referred, like, you always kind of saw Peyton Royce as more of the, you know, quote unquote worker of the two, even though I think they're both extremely talented.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, with Peyton Royce, you do literally nothing with, there's no character work. There's nothing to do except you kind of team her up with Lacey Evans.
Because why not?
And then Lacey Evans leaves, and so then you have nothing for her. And the damn Raw Talk segment where she talks about being haunted by her potential. And it's just like, holy crap, let this girl go. Let her do what she can do. Nope, let's make sure that Alexa Bliss has an imaginary friend that was all through her childhood and was secretly a demon that's stronger than the Fiend, but we're not going to talk about the Fiend. Less of that, more of people like Peyton Royce, and just like I'm getting mad. Legitimately getting
mad. And you're not wrong. Like, the issue with the Iconics getting released is that you own a company called World Wrestling Entertainment, and you had a tag team that could wrestle and were entertaining. How many times did we talk about the Iconics just making us giggle, giving us joy, entertaining us, will you? Like, I was always, it's the one thing that we like to say all the time, I was very sports entertained when they were in the ring. That I like, what were they the best wrestlers in the world? No. But they honestly didn't have to be. For one, they were really good. And for two, man, they were hilarious. All they had to do was the superhero pose, look off in two different directions, and you had me hook, line, and sinker every time.
So sad.
Right? And that's
it's so good. It's so simple, too. Just
They're the absolute proof of less is more, and they are entertaining in a company where entertainment's in the fucking title. And they're like, we want to break them up. Why? We want to break them up. Well, what are you going to do with them? So Charlotte is going to wrestle for a title.
Yeah.
And it's just, that is a WWE dropped ball. That is a release that is on them.
Yeah, plus this is another two that it was like, you know, looking at some of the other people talking on social media, like people in the locker room. I know Alexa Bliss and other people posted about how much they're going to be missed. Like, apparently that same day I saw a post on Reddit where, like, Rhea Ripley was really talking about how good they both are and, like, how much fun they are. I think Peyton Royce specifically, or maybe it was Billy Kay. Maybe she's talking about the Billy Kay resume stuff. So, just, holy crap. And then last and certainly not least, the one to me that was like all of these of these are doing all right.
You remember the Royal Rumble whenever she was trying to get Ruby Riott to join her? So she's in the corner and Billie Kay just looks at her just like upside down. The hand signal was upside down, but she's just like, this is right, right? I'm sorry. It just, that just got me. That's how entertaining she was.
Some of these releases are more surprising than others, but I think it's easy to say that the most surprising of all was Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Because he'd been on commentary for so long, they just stranded him out in the middle of a thunderstorm at WrestleMania, wear a poncho. And just like, and again, it's one of those, like, maybe he wanted to wrestle and they wouldn't clear him, so they cut him. I don't know. That's all speculation. We don't know what happened. The only thing we do know is, holy damn, I'm going to miss everything about Samoa Joe. On the microphone as a wrestler, on the microphone as a commentator, in the ring as a wrestler, even on fucking Up, Up, Down, Down. The fact that we're not going to get any more Joey Headrocker, blessed be the power game, just, it sucks. And I feel bad for, like, Xavier Woods, because one, his friends are out of a job, but two, like, they just started the third season of Battle of the Brands, and now Billie Kay, who was set to be a world champion, because I know you don't follow Battle of the Brands, but when they did it last time for season two, they added a bunch of people. The game broke because Billie Kay was whipping the absolute dog shit out of Adam Cole.
What game?
It's SmackDown versus Raw 2006, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they play GM mode. And so it's him versus Tyler Breeze. And they created a bunch of custom characters for it. And so it was Billie Kay versus Adam Cole, and she was just beating the absolute crap out of him. And then the game crashed and it died. So now she's in this new season because they had to now they have to work around it. And it's just like, man, this sucks. But like, you need to watch the Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole in Urguys from the WrestleMania special from Up, Up, Down, Down, because it's incredible. Samoa Joe totally steals the show afterwards because he just cuts this amazing promo on Weirdo Gamers, and it's the funniest thing. Joe is one of the, like, effortlessly cool people I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah, like, no. Dude...
It's ignorant.
Dude just exudes cool. Like, and it's... Yeah, it's effortlessly. The dude just exists.
It's worth noting the progressive Regal screams.
Regal!
That one sucks so bad. So, but again, like, wherever he goes, whatever he does, if he can do it safely, because again, it's one of those things, like, we've seen it with Edge and Christian and Daniel Bryan, but like, typically, there's a pretty good reason that you don't get cleared, so hopefully, if he does come back to the ring, he does so as safe as possible, because as much as I miss seeing him just, like, wreck fools left and right, I want him to be okay.
Yeah, we want somebody to be healthy. If they never wrestle again, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If their quality of life is fine. Does that make sense?
I think we're on the same page there. So... The biggest kick in the teeth, though, to all of this, and it's the thing that, like, really makes me question if I want to support this company at all. Like, I'm glad I'm not paying to the WWE Network anymore, because I'm just going to Peacock, which I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Office more than anything.
Again, I told you, it's an amazing service because it has all of, like, your favorite shows.
Yeah, so, but, like... How many times do we have to talk about the stories of, all right, we're telling the shareholders record profits. We have never made more money. We just sold to USA for $1 billion. Peacock has given us $1 billion to stream our content. Do a significantly worse job than we were doing on our network because you still can't play from the beginning. You can't pause live broadcasts. You can't rewind live broadcasts. Like, WrestleMania has come and gone without those options, so that sucks. And now they're like, oh, hey, by the way, the reason we're cutting you is because it's budget concerns. It's budget cuts. That's apparently the thing that's been... That's the reason that people were given. No. Fuck you. Fuck that. That is horseshit. just come out and say, we don't have any use for you. We can't use you right now. We don't have any plans.
Why lie?
At least give them an actual reason. Don't sit there and say, hey, your combined salaries isn't a drop in the bucket to what we earned last year. Because if you remember, they recorded record profits before they freed up all that money from firing a bunch of people during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And they were the only company, the only major wrestling company to do so. So, man, it's garbage. It sucks. And I get it. There's no ethical consumption under capitalism, like super lefty weirdo Asa. I get it. I understand. Yeah. But like, I hate it's stuff like this that I just, it's hard for me to stay invested and support the, like, because I want to support the people who are still there. But ultimately, I know any money that I spend on this product isn't really going to them. It's going to the shareholders.
Yeah.
It's going to the people at the top.
Because it's also like, it's one of those things when we talk about it. And when you said, like, just say that you have nothing for them. Because if the reason was, hey, we just don't have anything for you, we think it'd be better if you just weren't here. Like, yeah, that really sucks. And I probably wouldn't want to hear that. But I definitely wouldn't want to hear, well, we're worried about budget. And then hear that you're recording record high profit gains.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the one thing of just like, well, Vince McMahon made $1 billion last year. Well, he had to spend $750 million to make that billion. That's still $250 million that he made. And then recouped his losses spending it. Like, no, you still made more money than most of your roster combined.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, the budget, you can say, well, the company made this much, but they don't want to spend this much to make that much. That's the budget concern. They just don't want to have to spend money that they feel is worthless to them. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And that's the same thing. What we said and what they said was the exact same thing. The only difference is I said it in a way that is the truth. And they just said budget cuts. No, we are wasting money on your contract. We're not doing anything with you. So see you. What I said is,
how much money did they spend to get Logan Paul to WrestleMania?
Well, and you're not wrong, but they will tell you, in capitalism, they will tell you, Logan Paul has 200 million YouTube follows. So if a tenth of that fraction tuned or signed on to Peacock, that makes NBC happy, which makes them understand our contract more. Or can justify our contract more. Again, I don't agree with all of it, but I can at least give that reason. But then I'll justify it. Unlike WWE, that's just like, well, we don't want to spend too much money on you. Bye.
Yeah.
Just be honest. Like, it's a budget cut. They're honest. But it's because they don't want to spend the money on these talents.
Yeah, it's infuriating. I hate it. I don't like it. So.
Oh, no, it's but annoying.
Hey, that's 40 minutes talking about the people who got fired, which, honestly, they deserve. I'm not upset at that because literally, you know, these are people's livelihoods. Hopefully everybody lands on their feet and, you know, bounces back and is able to find something for them.
And at
thankfully,
least
even post-pandemic or post-pandemic, even now, like, companies are back. You know, the Impact is a viable option. AEW is a viable option. Japan is a viable option. NWA has a show again, you know, so. I doubt you're going to get WWE money, but there's still good money to be made for someone at this level.
I feel a lot better for the people that got released this time because it's not like last year where nothing was running. Better hope AEW wants you because that's the only way that you're going to get the money you're going to want wrestling unless you're willing to hustle like a mofo to get it.
Right. So, but best of luck to everybody who lost their jobs. They will be missed. Sucks.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Stuff sucks. So, go through, because that's really the biggest story that we, you know, could really sink our teeth into. But it was announced, I think, earlier today, and I think this is actually really cool. We know Impact Rebellion's pay-per-view is this weekend. It's the 24th?
Yep.
25th. It's the 25th.
Oh, it's the 25th.
Yep. Sunday, the 25th. And this is the show that is going to feature Kenny. We're going to preview the full show, where we're going to run down the matches at least. This is the show that the main event will be Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega in a title versus title match. And it was announced today that helping to call that match with Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown, who is the new commentary team of Impact Wrestling is going to be Mauro Ranallo.
Yay!
And that's super cool. I am such a big fan of Mauro. He was someone who I definitely looked up to when I was doing commentary. So I'm very, very excited to see, because he just brings a energy and an enthusiasm that you really can't fake.
Yeah, I remember,
like, everything he called every match like it was one of the most important matches he's ever called.
Yeah,
and it really came through well. So
you ever watch Pride Fighting Championship whenever he was one of the commentators?
I never got into the I never got into MMA to the level that I would watch anything other than UFC.
He was a lot of fun with Boss Root, and they were the English commentary team for Pride FC. And those two were amazing on the microphone. So good that they hired both of them to do the commentary for the Pride mode in UFC Undisputed 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mauro was on that too, because Boss definitely did the commentary for the Pride matches. I think Mauro did too. But yeah, no, those two, they were like my favorite MMA commentary team of all time. They were so much fun. And it's because Mauro is so good at explaining things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very, very excited that he's going to be back to calling wrestling again. Yeah. So, because I'm bummed we didn't get, I don't know if we got any crossover or if it was just a limited amount of, but Mauro Ranallo, Baron Corbin, Mauro Ranallo, Wade Barrett pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really wish we could have gotten a lot of that. Sami Zayn has released a new t-shirt with 100% of the sales going to Sammy for Syria. I don't know if Dalton, if you've seen it yet.
It's the best one they've done. It's best one. It's on
ProWrestlingTees.com, and it is incredible. It is from where he introduced Logan Paul for the first time at SmackDown.
Yeah.
When he's in the red shiny jacket and he's doing all the dance moves. It's just a series of
Sammy's
images of Sammy's dancing on a white t-shirt. And there was a picture of Becky Lynch.
It's her favorite shirt.
Because it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a, like, this is one that, and it also, it's going to a good cause.
Yeah. Because
the Sammy for Syria campaign has raised a ton of money and has done a ton of good work. So I'm very happy to see that continue. And this is also just like a really fantastic shirt that no one will understand if you're not a wrestling fan. But the ones who do get it are going to love it.
Yeah.
Because, oh, it's so good.
It's one of those wrestling shirts that's not a wrestling shirt unless you know it. And that's my favorite kind of wrestling shirt.
There's no context to it. It's beautiful. I love it so much. So check that out, and you buy it if you want to. We were just talking about Mauro Ranallo joining the commentary team for Impact Rebellion, but there are more commentary team changes. They're on, I think it was WrestleMania weekend. They were talking about like the shakeups to the Raw and SmackDown commentary teams that were coming. And everyone was like, ooh, Samoa Joe coming back to the ring. And it was, oh no, Samoa Joe's leaving the company. But the new voice of Monday Night Raw is Adnan Vera. Oh God.
I think you were.
I literally watched a video to say
his name.
His Adnan Verk.
Who, he is somebody that...
Yes, Adnan Verk. That was his name. Holy crap, my brain totally turned off.
I'm not super familiar with him.
I'm not either. I didn't think he did... I know the internet hated him because the internet hates everything and the internet hates change. So that was a 1-2 punch. I didn't watch a ton of Raw, but he... I think you could tell he was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he will, you know, be able to kind of settle in quickly and easily, because I'm interested to see how someone else will do, but I thought he will be fine, probably.
Yeah, no, he'll be good. Like, they won't put anybody that's bad on Monday Night Raw, at least. Mm-hmm. And if he is bad...
There's a difference between, like, sports commentary and wrestling commentary, and, you know, he's... I think I saw an interview or something where he said he was a fan, and, like, he's, you know, is up to date on everything that's going on, but still, it's just kind of one of those... It's weird to go from having no wrestling commentary experience to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's the big leagues, and it's right away.
Mm-hmm. So that's a very, very much a sink or swim.
Michaela, you are dead wrong about Pat McAfee. He is a national treasure, and he shall be treated as such.
Speaking of Pat McAfee, he is now the color commentator on Friday Night SmackDown.
Big Money and Pat. I don't know if he calls himself that, but I love him.
So it's Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, and Corey Graves. Is Corey Graves there with them? Or is it just those two?
It might just be those two.
I don't remember. I do know that Pat McAfee did an interview or he posted something where he said he thought he sucked on Friday night, but he wants to learn and grow.
Pat McAfee is one of those people that will be brutally honest. Like, there's a lot of things Pat McAfee is, but if it's something he wants to do, he is the shittiest at it in his head. Like, except for punting, he got to a certain point where he's like, no, I was the best punter in the NFL. But objectively, he was the best punter in the NFL. This stuff, he's like, yeah, no, like, I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, and there was a, I watched it on, actually, okay, so no, I think it's Adnan Virk and Corey Graves and Byron Saxton are on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just
Cole and McAfee
on SmackDown. I think, I'm not 100% sure.
Michaela's saying Corey's on Raw, so.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yep, so it's just Pat and Michael on Raw, or SmackDown. Jesus Christ, I smell toast.
I was going to say, like, do I need to call it? Like, we need to end this live stream and call you an ambulance?
That was rough.
So, I like Pat McAfee a lot as a wrestling personality. I think his stuff in NXT was a ton of fun. And before Bad Bunny, he was the best celebrity wrestler that we'd gotten.
If he had,
it wasn't even close.
If it wasn't for the fact that he was an elite level athlete, he would have been the best. But I can't give it to him anymore because Bad Bunny's
disqualifying.
Bad Bunny's just a musician and killed it.
So this wasn't on the news story, but did you see the interview that apparently Damian Priest taught Bad Bunny this Canadian Destroyer the day before their match?
That doesn't shock me. It doesn't shock me.
Like, he was just like, hey, you know the Canadian Destroyer? And Bad Bunny, because he's a huge wrestling fan, was like, yes. Do you want to do one? I don't know if I can. And he's just like, I'll show you.
So, that reminds me of Luke Gallows anytime he talks about his training, which, like, he had, like, horrible Georgia training whenever he started wrestling. And they were just like, want to do a stunner? like, just stupid shit. But I could see them being like, Canadian Destroyer? And he was like, yeah. Like, you want to learn how to do that?
It's like, the day before WrestleMania. So,
why not? But again, you did it to John Morrison, and that's one of those moves. Like, it's impressive, and his move looked clean. But it's one of those moves where the person taking it is actually the more impressive of the two. Right. But it still looked so good, and it doesn't shock me even a little bit that they put that on him last minute.
Yeah, that's funny. I thought that was a fun story. But anyway, going back to McAfee, on his Twitter, because I didn't see it on his actual podcast. But apparently the day that he was set to debut, he had Cole on his show. He had Michael Cole on his show.
Yeah, yeah.
And like we're talking about like, so are you coming to work today? Like there's a meeting. There's a production meeting. And he was like just, and they were kind of giving each other a hard time. But like Michael Cole seemed genuinely thrilled to have him come in and to be able to like teach him. And at the same time, McAfee seemed very, very excited to be able to learn from Michael Cole.
I think this is going
to be a pairing that if it gets the time that it needs for them to really develop a chemistry and a relationship, this could be a great pairing.
They're really good friends, actually. I'm going to send you the video. I'm going to send you the video of Pat McAfee's first WrestleMania.
I'm aware because where he wore the shorts and Michael Cole like tore into it. And I knew they had since like made amends.
Well, the reason that Michael Cole tore into him was because he was like, no, I don't want you to get in trouble because I want you here. He was like, I was being a dick because I don't want you to piss off Vince and never come back.
Okay.
And it was like, it was one of those things where Michael Cole was mad and Pat McAfee very much has the fuck you mentality because he had NFL money for the longest time. Like
he still does. I don't think he's...
Yeah, like...
And now he's got, like, podcasts and wrestling.
Yeah, like, the dude just... Like, he doesn't need the WWE. He just loves wrestling that much, and the dude loves to work.
Right.
But, yeah, no, those two are actually, like, legitimate friends.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that. Let's see. I don't have a ton of details on this, because I meant to look it up, and then I forgot, and now we're late on time anyway. But MLW has signed on with Vice TV for a television deal, which is super cool. Yeah. I think that's a good fit because like I don't know a ton about MLW other than Hammerstone should be everywhere.
Yeah, he's real good.
And Vice TV kind of seems like a cool fit for them.
The champion in MLW, I can't think of his first name. I want to say it's Sean, but Sean Fatu.
I thought it was Jacob.
It might be Jacob. I know he's a Fatu. I know he's like in part of the Anoa'i family. And anything I've seen of that guy is, he's amazing.
It is Jacob. It is Jacob Fatu.
All right, who's Sean Fatu then? It's fine. It's fine. I'm probably thinking of somebody different. But,
maybe.
Yep, I think I just figured it out. Anyway, but that dude, like, their champion is awesome. They have a lot of talent that, like, we've seen before. Like, Byron Reed has done a lot of MLW, things like that. It's cool that they got a pretty big deal, especially since Vice TV is, like, one of the go-to for wrestling things now. Not a wrestling show, but they have that Dark Side of the Ring, and they did, like, the Lucha season of, like, shows. They did the really awesome Deathmatch documentary a couple years back. Like, that's a really intelligent place to get a TV show for wrestling. Because your fan base has probably watched A Dark Side of the Ring. And they're like, hey, we have actual wrestling now.
Yeah. So that's super cool. I'm excited to see. I'll probably look more into it and just kind of give more details. Because I don't know if anything like a date or anything has been announced yet. But I'll look more into that. And then we'll talk about that more as their television debut gets closer. And before we get into the Impact Rebellion pay-per-view preview, I do want to mention this because I think this is just the coolest thing to happen this week. Danhausen has officially appeared on a Conan O'Brien podcast with Conan O'Brien. It is Conan O'Brien, who, if you don't know who it is the best late night talk show host to exist. I know I just upset Shannon. He's somewhere. He just got a twinge of anger, but he's my favorite by far.
I love him.
He's hilarious, but he has a podcast called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, where he interviews he interviews celebrities, and it's a pretty interesting podcast. I've only listened to a few of the episodes, but like they're insightful and they're funny and they're good. And so there's a new podcast, a new take on it called Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan, where he interviews fans, and the debut episode has Danhausen on it. It's Danhausen and one other person. It's a little like 15-minute interview. And it's totally out of character, so we get to see Danhausen's human disguise, which was a lot of fun. And they hit it off, and honestly, I think like ROH Final Battle 2022 is gonna have a Conan O'Brien appearance.
Has to.
Because Conan is so on board with all of it. He wants to be a part of the show. He wants to be a part of the Danhausen lore.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to it, please do. It's really, really, it's heartwarming. It's touching. And how cool is it for Danhausen to get to do this? Like, I don't know if you don't follow him on Twitter, you need to, because a couple months ago, he tweeted out to Conan's assistant wearing a Conan mask, doing a video like, it's me, Conan O'Brien, book Danhausen on your show and I'll give you $1 million. Like, he's doing the Danhausen shtick, but and then he eventually takes it off and he's in his mate. It's like, and it's so weird. And like, man, she could have seen that and been like, what the fuck is this? Like, am I about to get murdered? But instead she responded to it and it's like, sure thing, Conan. Like, yeah, I'll get right on it. Like, it's like, so she ended up responding to it. And I guess that's probably what led to this, but dude, it's funny. Check out the podcast. It's Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. I listen to it on Spotify. I'm sure it's at every, you know, wherever you're listening to us, assuming you're not listening to us live, because I don't think it's on Facebook. But if you, wherever you listen to your podcast, check that one out and check out Danhausen's appearance, because like, it is very rare for an independent wrestler to get this type of mainstream attention, or attention from such a mainstream person like Conan O'Brien.
But he has the perfect gimmick for it. I was listening to, so every once in a while, whenever I decide that I hate myself, I'll listen to clips of Jim Cornette. And it has been a very popular thing where people will buy cameos of Danhausen for Cornette and his goofy co-host. And Jim Cornette loves him.
Really?
He's like, I will never watch a single thing he does in the ring because I'll hate him. But he was like, the character, the way he does it, it is perfect. Because he's like, everything makes sense. I am like this so I can have a house, so I can buy a house made of gold. He's like, I get it. Everything's dumb. And it's one of those things where it's like, he hates everything else I love. But he loves Danhausen's character. And it's like, in him talking about it, he wasn't shitty at all. The worst thing he said was, I'm never going to watch him because I'll hate him. And he's right. But just him being like, oh no, like he has like one of the best characters in wrestling right now.
And he even like, he even talks about that. Like, Danhausen talks about that, where it was just like, no one, because Conan asked him, he's like, so are you one of those boring wrestlers that like just does moves? And he's like, no, like people didn't care about me until I, like, whenever, because I can do all of those moves. I'm good at doing all of those moves, but no one cared.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I became this Danhausen that people actually like took notice. So it's super cool. I love him. I think he's hilarious. And yeah, so check that out for sure. And then finally this Sunday, April 25th on Fight TV, it's $40. You can get Impact Rebellion. Impact has been doing such good work for such a long time. Please check this out. I think it's going to be a really, really good show. If nothing else, it's going to be a historic main event for sure. Unless they, you know,
bungle it,
do some gimmicky bullshit non-finish for the ending. But I don't think they're going to do it. I really hope they're not going to do it, because I do think we're in the process of Kenny Omega turning into Thanos, pro wrestling Thanos. So there is a tag team match for the Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championships as Fire and Flava, Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz defend against Jordynne Grace and a partner who will be named later. If you didn't know, Jordynne Grace has most recently been teaming with Jazz, and they just had her retirement ceremony for her on Impact, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It also was really cool to see Jazz come back for that run with Jordynne Grace,
because there's the perfect person to put her with.
This match, I think, is going to be edited somehow or changed, because Eric Young has a pretty significant like ACL tear, I think. But it is an 8-man tag team match as Violent by Design, Eric Young, Diener, Joe Doering, and Rhino team up against Chris Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, and Willie Mack. But like I said, I think Eric Young is probably going to be pulled from that match, because he wrestled a match with a fully torn ACL against Eddie Edwards for Impact's main event on Tuesday. So, Trey Miguel versus Sami Callihan in a last man standing match. That match is going to be very violent, very gross, and I'm kind of looking forward to it a lot, because Sami Callihan has really worn me over since that baseball bat spot.
Mm-hmm.
We said some real things about him that I kind of stand by at the time, because like that was stupid, but everything seems fine now. They both kind of realize like, yeah, that was pretty stupid, huh? But Sami Callihan has been doing some really cool stuff with Impact the last couple of years. Matt Cardona versus Brian Myers in a singles match. Have you been keeping up with their story at all?
Yeah.
On Impact?
Yeah, okay. I have.
It's pretty good. Like, I like
just it. Brian Myers being pissed off that Cardona came into his home.
Yeah, he's pretty much just like paranoid and pissed that, yeah, Matt Cardona followed him to Impact, and Matt's just like, no, I'm here for me. I don't want to team with you. I don't want to fight you. Like, I'm just here now.
Him calling him mid Cardona has also really gotten me. That giggles me every time.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. There is a 3-way championship match for the Impact X Division title as Ace Austin defends against Josh Alexander and TJP. Josh Alexander, who is incredible, and we didn't really talk about AEW, but the next time we get a chance to, I'm going to complain about that. But go ahead. You had something.
He's going to be in St. Louis in a couple months.
Josh Alexander?
He's going to wrestle Mike Outlaw.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's going to be real good.
I know. We might have to figure out what that's streaming on.
Right? The Impact Knockouts Championship, excuse me, has Deonna Purrazzo defend against Tennille Dashwood. Excuse me again, dear Lord. I'm also really looking forward to that match. I like both of them quite a bit. The Impact Tag Team Championships will be defended as Finn Juice, David Finlay, and Juice Robinson defend against the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson. Forgot that Finn Juice were the champions. But that's going to be really... that their first match was good, so I'm excited to see what they do. And then, of course, the main event, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega, each man defending his respective promotions tag team, or sorry, tag team, respective promotions title, where Rich Swann is defending the Impact title, which was recently
merged
consolidated
with the TNA.
From the TNA heavyweight championship that Moose was carrying, and Kenny Omega is defending the AEW championship, not the AAA championship, because he also holds that title too. And regardless of, because I don't see any I don't see any chance that Omega loses here.
I think the only way he would is if he then gets it back at the next AEW pay-per-view.
Well, but the thing is that it's so weird that Omega has been such a heavy presence on Impact Television, and we've seen nothing from Swan on AEW.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. I don't get that. And that's part of why it's like, man, this is Kenny Omega's story. It's just Rich Swann's turn to lose. Like, they're not really doing... AEW's not doing anything for Rich Swann. Impact is doing a lot for Kenny Omega. Bless you. You also did not mute your microphone there.
It was muted. It was blinking.
I heard you.
Oh, my bad.
So right. I don't know how... I don't know if you're coming in through your headset or what.
Oh, but, that's not good.
Yeah, I 100% heard that. But like I was saying, Kenny Omega... Impact is doing a ton for Kenny Omega. AEW is not reciprocating, it feels like. Really just feels like AEW's coming in and kicking the dog. So I'm not a huge fan of that. So if it was a Rich Swann upset, holy cow, that would be incredible. To have someone who hasn't even appeared on AEW television, unless there's still 7 minutes left in AEW Dynamite. So maybe Rich Swann popped up or something and we missed it. But yeah, this is a... It's going to be a fantastic match either way.
Yeah.
Because holy crap, both of these guys are really good.
So Asa, if it makes you feel any better, you were listening to me through my laptop microphone. I have been recording on this microphone the whole time. So in the recording, okay, they're going to be like, bless you. And they didn't hear it. The people listening after the fact.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I was like, I definitely muted it that time. So I probably muted it every time and they didn't hear it on the show. But anyway, I think it would be, I agree with everything you're saying about they have not given enough play to Rich Swann and all the play to Kenny Omega. I think that would be an even better reason to give it to Rich Swann. Because again, I think there's an AEW pay-per-view around the corner. And let Rich Swann hold that belt for a couple of months. Rich Swann is a very capable superstar. And there's like three or four people I would like to see him wrestle in AEW in that top tier card thing. Let him beat a couple of AEW guys, then lose both belts back to Omega, and then you're back to track. But make it a little unpredictable. Give us something a little different. You there?
Yeah. Okay. Breaking news, because an hour ago, EC3 posted to Instagram, hashtag control your narrative can kill you. That's not strictly just an attention-grabbing headline. It's more of an update. Short version, an infection I neglected proper care for, put other people's needs before mine, went straight empath, caught up to me, and broke me. Long version, it's extensive. I've been hospitalized 5 days and will need longer. Anyways, I will heal if you want to help or drop a comment or a thought of affirmation. Please do not text. Please, all I ask, if you want to help, let me be alone. So, do not text me. I mean it. And this is all hashtags, and it's all in caps, so it's hard to
read. You have to, like, read it really slowly.
Don't text. I mean it. And don't... Don't hunt me down. No, don't honey me.
Are you having a stroke?
No, I think he might be on meds. Cause like,
fair enough.
I'm gonna put it in the Discord chat here, and also you should know there's a line break.
Don't text me. And
because there's that extra IN. But either way, it doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm picking on EC3 as he's literally lying in the hospital. Holy shit. So yeah, best wishes to EC3. We will not text you, mostly because we can't. We do not have that ability. But even if we could, we would not. So yeah, dear Lord. Because I wanted to try to see if I could find something with the date on Dynamite. And got this that. Popped up on Reddit. So let me see, AEW pay-per-view 2021, because I think it's Double or Nothing is their next one. Double or Nothing is May 30th, so that's a month. We're a month away from the next AEW pay-per-view. But yeah, so rebellion happens, Rich Swann gets the surprise upset. But honestly, if Kenny Omega's whole thing is he's going after all these different titles and he's this unstoppable force, having him lose for a month, like lose both titles for a month, would suck. That would totally derail it. Because, like, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I don't think he should lose until he's losing everything.
Okay.
Like, he should, you know, if he ends up beating Aldis for the NWA title, let him drop it to someone. Then he loses the Impact title either back to Rich Swann or to someone else. And then ultimately this story leads to him losing the AEW title to Hangman. You know, maybe he has the AAA title, he has the AEW title, he gets the Impact title, he may even get the NWA title. Then he challenges, which now it's not Ibushi anymore, but like say he loses the match to Will Ospreay. And then, okay, well, he couldn't get the New Japan title.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's when everything kind of starts to unravel for him.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of time. I think this is long-form storytelling, which is something that has been very sorely missed in professional wrestling on cable television. So, but that is going to do it for us, ladies and gentlemen, unless you had anything else you were wanting to add or...
Nah, I'm good. I think if you're on Fight TV this weekend, hit up Cape Championship Wrestling. We have Homecoming coming up this weekend, and we're going to be on Fight. So hit us up. Gonna be a lot of really fun matches on the card. I'm happy to be back at it. I'm fully vaccinated, so this will be the first like more guilt-free show I've done in a while. Pretty stoked about that. I got a fun match coming up. There's a lot of really good matches. So if you're in the area, come check us out. I think we're still gonna try to social distance. I don't know about masks, but I want to wrestle in front of people again. So if you're good to go. If you're not vaccinated, like, just come, but get vaccinated first.
Also, even if it's not required,
wear a mask. Yeah.
That should be required.
Thank you, Asa. I was saying so many things that I forgot all of my beats. I appreciate it.
Regardless of, you know, if requirements, fucking wear one. Instead of promoting my own Twitch channel, I'll give a shout out to Marco, because Marco has started streaming a lot of Rocket League on Twitch. His is twitch.tv/realmarcostunt. Give him a follow, you know, because he promotes it when he's on Twitter, but he plays a lot of Rocket League. I'm hoping to jump in on a game with him because he's asked me if I wanted to, and I'm like, I need to play Rocket League first because I haven't played it in literal years. So I have it downloaded on my Xbox, and spoiler alert, I'm real bad.
Remember that time that we all played Smash Bros. With him online? And just the level of shit talk between us.
And the disrespect that I laid down on the entire stunt family. I missed that. That was fun. So, but yeah, twitch.tv/realmarcostunt. Give him a follow. Check out his streams because he's fun to watch. He gets real angry sometimes and it's entertaining. And then, of course, all of the Podzilla 1985 that you could get. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Watch us record these shows live. I'm assuming Michaela's still in the chat because I don't look at the chat.
Thank you, Michaela, for being. I've been trying to respond to her as much as possible via text and in person. Mm-hmm. She's the person that hits us up the most. We appreciate her. She's the Podzilla super fan. I think she's in every episode.
Yeah, I was gonna say she's the live reaction MVP.
Yeah,
for Podzilla.
She's never been a physical peanut gallery. We haven't had a physical peanut gallery in forever, but we have Michaela, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, and then so come join Michaela in the live chat as we record these. Of course, we've got PZ85 After Dark tomorrow night. We've got another episode of Horse Time. I need to talk to Shannon. This might be my makeup episode because I was going to be on last week to talk about the Snyder Cut of Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
So we might do that Friday, depending on what he has planned and what his availability is. I'm going to talk to him about that. And then we start everything over again next week.
I Wanna Believe
on Monday. PZ85 plays on Tuesday. And then we'll be back at it right here at Pro Wrestling Unscripted on Wednesday. So... there was something else I was going to mention. When you're there buying your Pro Wrestling Tees Sammy shirt, get your Dalton Anthony t-shirt. Oh, I remember what it was. Happy birthday to Zane Laney.
Hey, happy birthday, Zane.
It's Zane Laney's birthday, yeah. So I don't think he's watching live, but I'm pretty sure he listens to PW still. If he doesn't, don't let me find out. I'll cry. But I'm assuming he does, and happy birthday to Zane.
Happy birthday, Zane!
That's going to do it for us, everybody. Thank you so much for either watching us live on Facebook, listening to us as a podcast. I say it every week, and I mean it every week. You all mean the absolute world to us.
Yep.
We wouldn't be doing this without you. So thank you. Have a great week. Stay safe, and we will talk to you very, very soon.